Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
Oftentimes, we don't think about biblical characters in real human terms, but we want to talk about Joshua and his story, and I want you to think carefully about what he actually had to go through and relate it to your own situation. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the Covenant Journey Bible Podcast. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. To begin this story, let's look at Numbers chapter 13. And it is the story where Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 were actually chosen by Moses to go into the promised land to do reconnaissance, surveying the land to see what it's like. They're wandering now in the wilderness at the very early phases of their journey in the wilderness. This is well before they had to stay 40 years there. And they were now on the edge of the promised land, and these 12 were going to scope out the landscape. So in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a prince or a ruler among them." And so each one of these were people who were leaders within those 12 tribes. And of course, you remember Joshua and Caleb were chosen, and they were listed in the several verses thereafter. Verse 16. After listing all the 12 individuals, which include Joshua and Caleb. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. Moses, in verse 17, sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way by the south and go up to the hill country." So he's telling them exactly where they need to go. So verse 21, so they went up and they spied out the land. And they go through various parts of the land in the subsequent verse. Then, verse 25, they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. Verse 26, Numbers 13. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregations of the children of Israel. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregations, and they showed them the fruit that they had brought back from the land. Verse 27. They told him and said, "We came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit." So it is an example of some of the things that we brought back. However, they say in verse 28, "The people in the land are very strong, and the cities are fortified. They're very large." And we saw some of the children of Anak there. They list some of the other nations that they saw. Caleb says, well, listen, you know, all the people, as they're getting the report, he wanted to quiet them down. He says, "Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who went up with him said, "We aren't able to overcome against this people, for they are stronger than we." They brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out to the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that eats up its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature." These are people that they saw, the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come to the Nephilim. These are tall people. He says, "And we were in our own sight like grasshoppers." That's how we were compared to these giant people. So, verse 1 of chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried, and the people wept that night. Verse 2 of chapter 14, all the children of Israel then murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why does the Lord bring us to this land to fall by the sword?" And they go on, and they go on, and they go on. Let's think about Joshua for a moment. Joshua was about 20 years of age when he comes out of Egypt. Joshua was born in slavery. Yeah, he, for 20 years of his young life, he worked with the whip on his back. He had his body covered with mud, clay every day. He'd go home every night and be tired from the work that he did. If he didn't get his quota, then he would be punished. He saw people punished. He saw people whipped. He saw people die. He saw the people who looked elderly, but no doubt their physical appearance had aged because of not having good nutrition and being overworked. He lived in that environment for 20 years. So he was born in this very harsh situation. He lived in it for 20 years. He wasn't able to grow up and have his dreams pursued like many other people at that age. He was a slave. He sees what's happening in Egypt, and he sees Moses and Aaron, and he sees them confronting the Pharaoh. He sees how the people ultimately pushed back against Moses and Aaron because things got actually worse. He was part of that worse situation where Moses first confronted Pharaoh. And he's going to bed every night and he's wondering where God is in all of this. This is a real person. We think of Joshua as this great leader. But let's talk about how he was actually living through this time. No doubt he must have had questions, had thoughts. How am I born in this kind of a situation? He could read the scriptures. He knew his origin. He knew about the promises to Abraham in Genesis. He knew about all of that. Of course, Exodus wasn't written. He was part of that history of Exodus being written. But he knew about the creation. He knew about God. He knew about the promise to Abraham. And here he is in this miserable place. And these people are constantly having criticisms against Moses and Aaron. And it's understandable why, because when Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh, he took away all the straw, but continued to keep up the quota for the bricks. So their work actually got more difficult. And more people, no doubt, suffered and some maybe even died because of the extra workload. But he was also there when they led themselves, they walked out of Egypt and they went to the sea. He was there when they were stuck in between the sea in front of them and Egypt behind them, and there was no way out, and the only way out was God. He saw this amazing experience of parting the Red Sea. No doubt his faith grew, and he began to see some of the fulfillment of his prayers. Then he is a leader among his tribe, and he is now around 20 years old or so, and he's out there in the wilderness, and they are promised to go into the Promised Land. And so Moses selects him. Out of all the people, he is the one who represents his particular tribe. And then his other friend, Caleb, is another person representing a different tribe. And frankly, all 10 people, they knew each other. They had to know each other. And in fact, if they didn't know each other very well, believe me, they got to know each other pretty well when they spent 40 days and 40 nights in a foreign place searching out this new land that they were sent to actually report back. 40 days. You can bond pretty well, even if you didn't know anybody at the very beginning, when you're spending this much time with them for 40 days and you're on a mission. And that's what they were on. They were on a mission. Joshua and Caleb, no doubt, had conversations in the evening after the day of spying, and others did as well. Who knows what their conversations were like, but certainly Joshua and Caleb had different conversations, it appears, than the other 10. So when they ultimately come back, they say, this is how we're going to respond. This is the report we're going to give. They come back and they start giving the report. Caleb stands up. Joshua's going to be right there behind him. Let's go into the land. Let's do it right now. Let's move forward. He thinks that all the other ones that are there, since they've all experienced the same thing, are going to do the same. But only Joshua and Caleb have faith, and they see God and not the giants. Yet the other 10, they begin to give a completely different report. Wait a minute, guys. We spent 40 days and 40 nights together. We saw the same thing. You were with us when we were in Egypt. We were all slaves not long ago. You were with us and you saw all of the plagues. You saw the Passover. You saw the miracle, just like we did. And in fact, we all walked through the sea on dry ground. And here we are. And this is the land that God promised to us. What are you doing? Imagine the betrayal that Joshua and Caleb, but particularly Joshua, since we're focusing on him, felt. Imagine how he had to stand alone against his friends. Sometimes, you know, there are dark times in our lives. Joshua certainly experienced those in Egypt. He experienced those when he saw the people criticize Moses. He experienced that later in the wilderness when he saw Aaron succumb to the people's pressure and make a golden calf. And no, Aaron, it didn't just pop out of the fire. It was fashioned and it was formed, and you were the one that oversaw it. And he was no doubt disappointed in this high-level leader who he respected. But his faith wasn't in men, wasn't in individual leaders. His faith ultimately continued to be honed, and it was in God. And thus, while he's in this wilderness, he sees God and not the giants. Yes, he sees them, but they're insignificant compared to what he knows God can do. Same with Caleb. But at the other people, no, they see giants and they see God as little and the giants as big. And you know, well, they're trying to convince these people, no, let's go in. And all the people, they weep all night. And Joshua and Caleb are wondering, what in the world, what kind of universe are we living in? We're right here. Let's go forth. Let's do it. And they weep. And then in the morning, they come up and they murmur against Moses. And they say, we don't want to go in. We're going to die there. And so now Joshua has to spend 40 more years of his life wandering in a wilderness. He sees all of his friends die. The other 10 people that were part of his group die. All of the people die, except for Caleb. Moses himself is ultimately coming to the end of his life. Aaron, you see all these people that pass away, one after another. And now, for 40 years, now he's about 60 years or plus old. And finally, it's time for him to go into the wilderness. And you pick up the story in Joshua chapter 1, and there it says, Moses died, and Joshua was given that authority, that responsibility, the mantle, if you will, to ultimately lead his people into the promised land. Boy, it was a time that he had been waiting for since he was very young, in Egypt, in the wilderness for 40 years. He was there really wanting to be there in the spying for the 40 days. He thought, just we're right there on the edge. But no, he suffered because of the people around him who had no faith. But Joshua didn't give up. Joshua had a lot of times talking with God. Where are you, God? Where are these people? Why can't they see? You know, I encourage you to, whether it's Joshua or any other biblical character, you read them in the Hall of Faith and so many others in Hebrews chapter 11, and we look at them as superhuman, superheroes, and they're just like you and me. They're no different than you and me. They have the same kind of questions. They have the same kind of issues that they deal with. These are real people, and God worked with them. Joshua's a real person. And you may have some of those experiences as you think about his life in detail. Take some time rather than just reading the stories. They're really nice. We grew up with these biblical stories. They're wonderful. They make great stories for our children. But at the same time, think about what they went through day by day, month by month, year by year, decade by decade in this case. And ultimately, they continued to remain faithful. It really gives a story of encouragement and an example for you and I to continue to order our lives in accordance with God's will, no matter the circumstances, no matter the peer group around us, no matter even the family around us that want to constantly bring you down and ultimately discourage you or even hurt your faith. Continue to press into the Lord. Joshua no doubt had some of those moments where he wept. He had those moments where he prayed. He had those moments where he read, and he continued to maintain his faithfulness in the Lord, and God ultimately did reward him. God's word will be done, and he's looking for people, you and I, who are faithful to accomplish his will. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.